Among the most controversial aspects of this constitution and of this revolutionary regime in the first phase of the revolutionary events was the relationship with the church. This was to be a very thorny and problematic issue for the revolutionaries throughout this decade of revolution. The revolutionaries had called for the confiscation of church land. It was now going to be sold, hopefully to the peasants and to others, redistributed, and obviously made liable for taxes. And in 1790, the regime instituted what was called the Civil Constitution of the Clergy, which gave the new French state control over the clergy. It would pay salaries, it would maintain churches, but now the French church was clearly to be controlled by this French state. The Pope, needless to say, denounced all this, and it split the church into two groups. One was called the constitutional clergy, those who were willing to take an oath of loyalty to the new revolutionary regime and to abide by this civil constitution of the clergy, and those who remained loyal to the papacy. It greatly aggravated public sentiment, especially among the peasantry. The French peasants have an ambiguous relationship with the revolutionary regime almost from the very beginning. And relations with the church really captured this ambiguity in a very powerful way. On the one hand, the French peasantry was very keen to have church land. The redistribution of church property to the peasantry was seen as it would be a tremendous boon. On the other hand, the peasants were very unhappy, very uneasy about what they considered to be the humiliation of the church, the subjugation of the church to this revolutionary regime. Here one sees this quite interesting, and as I said, ambiguous sense of tradition that the peasants have. They want to benefit from the revolutionary changes underway, but are still very much bound by tradition, traditional loyalties, traditional power of these old institutions. The revolutionary coalition, which had sustained itself through 1789, 1790, and into 1791, now began to splinter. First, the enthusiasm for reform and revolutionary change among the aristocracy faded very quickly, many of whom fled abroad across the Rhine, particularly to the western provinces of Germany, where they set up a very active immigré community which agitated against the revolution, against what they saw as the humiliation of the king, and against the wanton destruction of property, aristocratic property, and the breach of old traditional privileges, and so on. All along the frontier of France, in the German provinces, one also saw this abroad in England, and amazingly enough, even in a small town in Pennsylvania, where a number of French immigré aristocrats settled, clamoring against the revolution in 1791, 1792. Louis XVI was obviously quite anxious about the situation. In June of 1791, he and the royal family attempted to flee, to escape Paris and to link up with his brothers and other immigrés abroad. They made it out of Paris, escaped through the first few checkpoints, but were finally captured before they could make their escape successful. And while Louis was gone, a search of the royal apartments at the Tuileries revealed a whole series of very incriminating documents in which Louis basically said that this constitution that's being drafted is an atrocity, that he would not be loyal to it, would not be bound to it, etc., etc., etc. This is a very difficult thing for the revolutionaries, the moderates, to have to accept, since the whole notion that they had was of a constitutional monarchy in which the monarch and the assembly would cooperate. Louis XVI was clearly seeking aid from his brother-in-law, Leopold II of Austria.